This is Tina Claypole, your host today for the Divine Healing Prayer Ministry Program. I have with me today Father Lee, who is also a PhD. He is an evangelist, workshop leader, amongst other ministries. Father is originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and presently lives in the Atlanta area. Today he's going to speak to us on the current situations that are taking place within our church. And I welcome you today, Father, and I thank you for your ministry and for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Tina. Thank you for allowing me to be here in this this moment that sometimes seems to be somewhat great challenging for us and at the same time painful. But it's moments like this, in this moment of challenge and pain, that God's ready to do something. It's like giving birth. Now, I never gave birth to a child, but you go through the pain at first, and then after the delivery, you experience what a great gift it was in spite of it all. It's interesting that your ministry is called Healing. Today's reading today in the gospel, there was a man, Jesus was in a synagogue, and there was a man with a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And then Jesus rebuked him, and he said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And so today, I think in this current situation that we are in the church, I think that we have to rebuke that which is unclean in the church. I think this is a grace period for us. We have to call out the sin of death. Just like Jesus called out Lazarus, who was in the tomb for 4 days, and he cried out, "Lazarus," and when he cried out, Lazarus came out of the tomb. Now, remember, he had been dead for 4 days or so, and they said, "Surely, Lord, you don't want to go in there. There's a stench," and there has been somewhat of a smell, a stench in the church, and now there's a purification and a cleansing that is going on in the church today. In spite of the scandal that we're hearing from our shepherds, it started in 2002 with the charter, trying to somehow get some kind of understanding and somehow accountability for priests. And now we realize even for our shepherds called bishops. So we shall not be afraid, because in this moment of crisis, God is closer to us than we are to our very selves. There is this wonderful bishop who has this word on fire, who says, "We are not Catholic because of the moral excellence of our leaders. God help us if we were, but we are Catholic because of Jesus Christ." Now, I'm Catholic because Jesus Christ. I'm Catholic because I know the Word. I'm Catholic because I know the Eucharist. I'm Catholic because I know what the church ought to be. And in spite of it all, when you think about it, some are saying, "Well, we're going to become a smaller church, maybe a poorer church." But you know, that's okay. People have to make their minds up in terms of, are we going to stay or are we going to go? And you remember when Jesus gave a very difficult, hard saying that he was going to give us his flesh to eat. That was very difficult for some of the people who were following him to understand. And some of his followers left him because they were saying, "Now, we've been loving everything you've been saying, Jesus, but this teaching that you're talking about, you're going to give us your flesh to eat, doesn't make any sense." And some left. And then the 12 stayed with him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter steps up and says, "Well, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." And so for us who are going to stay, it's like, where are we going to go? For Jesus has the words of eternal life. So how are we going to handle this moment of crisis? I think that this challenge that is given to us is not a moment of silence, but a moment for us. And I always say this now. The church was saved because of Jesus Christ, but now it's going to be saved not because of the bishops or the priests or the religious, but it's going to be the lay people who have been empowered, who have been baptized. They are going to step up to the plate, and they're going to call us to accountability, which I think is absolutely wonderful. They're going to call us, meaning priests and bishops and religious, they're going to call us to become saints, to be holy, because that's all of our call. That's a universal call. So I think this challenge today is a challenge that is pointing to the lay people who are now, I think, in many respects, are stepping up to the plate, and they're saying enough is enough. What's really going on with this sexual abuse thing and, you know, this immorality and all the other, you know, stench, the ugliness and the smell that we see, that the aroma that we know that is not from God. And so, you know, in this moment of crisis, I think it's a moment of a grace period for us, because some of God's best work is done in the midnight hour. And Jesus prepared us for this moment. He even prayed for Peter. You remember Jesus said, "Peter, I prayed for you because I saw Satan trying to sift you like wheat." So it was not just directed to Peter, but it was directed to the church. And then he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus saw the evil one trying to destroy the bride of Christ, which is his church. And so here we are in this moment of darkness, but at the same time, it is a moment that is filled with lots of grace for us. It is the storm of life, and we can't not have the crown without the cross, no pain, no gain. And if we're serious about getting to heaven, we have to understand it comes to visit us in our individual and personal life. It comes to visit us in our family. And now here's the larger family called the church. And the evil one is here. It's been here for a while. The evil one's here. But we know no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because in the end, Jesus is going to reign. His Sacred Heart is going to reign. We talk about his mother, Mary. She even prophesied, even at the Fatima apparition. She said her Immaculate Heart will reign. But we may have to suffer a while. But in the end, good is going to triumph over evil.
Father, I think it's important that as laity, we do not commit spiritual suicide, that we do not walk away from our priests, we do not walk away from our faith, because first and foremost, the only way to receive the Eucharist, reconciliation, is through our priest. And because of this human error, we need to pray for revival and renewal. Pray to Our Lady to cover our priests, to give them a new mind and new spirit in the Lord.
Amen. And I think you hit the topic head on. And that is, you know, a friend of mine said, you know, they should go ahead and just let the priest get married. And I said, see, you're seeing it through the eyes, the lens of the world, of the flesh. But this is a spiritual warfare that we're in. And you said it well. The spiritual warfare is that we have to pray like never before. You remember when the disciples couldn't get out this certain demon. And see, we don't even talk about the devil much anymore. We don't talk about demons anymore. We don't talk about evil. But evil is alive and well. And now we know it's in the church like never before. And the disciples couldn't get out this one demon. And Jesus happened to come along. And then all of a sudden, Jesus rebuked this demon, and the demon left. And the disciples said, well, why couldn't we do that? We've been able to do all these great things. You have empowered us, but why couldn't we get this demon out? He said, this kind of demon takes not only prayer, but fasting. And I think that's really the heart. We don't talk. See, after Vatican II, I think people thought we had an easy kind of road to salvation. We have to talk again about not only praying more, devotions more, the Eucharist, adoration, the rosary, but we also have to talk about penance and fasting. These are the things I think we have kind of tucked away on the shelf too long, and now we hear and we see that we're going to have to dust these things off the shelf, and we're going to have to, again, be people who are steeped into more prayer, more fasting, more sacrificing for the kingdom of God, not only for ourselves, but for the salvation of the world. So I think the challenge is put before us to know that these moments, when you read the history of the church, you have to remember the church is 2,000 years old. And when you read the history of the church has been through many dark moments, especially in Europe, when we had the Reformation and with Martin Luther. But in the American Catholic Church, we have never experienced a crisis like we are experiencing now. And now this is a moment, I think, in this crisis that God wants to raise up. Moments like this, he wants to raise up saints. And saints are the people who step up to the plate and say they will be on the battlefield, because this is a spiritual warfare, like I said. They want to be on the battlefield for Jesus. And so we shall not be afraid, but in this prayer and this fasting and making the sacrifices, we must also speak out against the evils. And therefore, there's this thing called accountability, not only for the priests, but even for the bishops. Anybody who has covered up for this grave sin of sexual abuse should be made accountable for this grave sin, this evil, this mortal sin. And so what's the accountability? And this is a hard pill to swallow, but part of the cleansing of the church is that anyone who have been involved with this kind of evil, anybody who has covered up this kind of evil, they must go. I don't care if it's one priest they covered up for or for 20 priests. That part of the cleansing is, and accountability is, they must leave. They must resign. And so I think, you know, it's difficult to talk about, but, you know, we must somehow not be afraid to confront truth to power, and to know that to eradicate this great sin, some of us have to... be accountable and turn in our papers and say, you know what, mia culpa, mia culpa, mia grandissima culpa. I'm sorry, but in order to help the church, I must step away at this point, because sometimes you can be more of a hindrance than a moment of grace for the church.
I thank you, Father, for being with us today. And it really puts me sometimes in a state of sadness, because the media seems to single out the Catholic faith, the Catholic religion, when in fact this type of situation is in every walk of life, whether it be in government or any other denomination. So we will just continue to pray and believe that Our Lady and the Lord will triumph in the very end and have their way, and there will be many, many young priests, and will bring our church to revival. And Father God, we call upon you today to give blessings to our priests, yes, to our bishops, to our cardinals, and to our Pope, the Holy Father, yes, that you will enlighten them, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we would like to pray for all the prayer requests that come to us from around the world, knowing, Lord, that you know the need in each and every heart, and that you will have your way. I pray, Father God, for blessings on Father Lee in his ministry and in his travels, and we give you thanks, glory, and praise.
Amen. Father, Son, and sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.